We're on.
Okay, here we go. There's no one in the bathroom, but let's murder him anyway. Chapter 7. Daddy, the plans, Margaret exclaimed. The contemplative curmudgeon turned Kentucky Fried apoplectic. His eyes reddened and his arteries hardened. His starched shirt stiffened and went silent. They grabbed Charlie, Margaret said. I just wanted my shirt back, Charlie said in a trembling voice. The siblings looked to their dad, the man who helped bring them into the world for guidance, for wisdom, for clarity. But all they got was the 3-mile stare of a man who'd lost his humanity years ago. Finally, the old dirtbag spoke. Are you okay? Yes, Charlie said, slowly and deliberately. Again, the two looked to their dad for a timely and logical explanation of shirt-stealing, child-molesting plants with hands living in their bathroom. Margaret held Charlie's hand as their four eyes poured into their dad's, trying to find the light switch. I am very deceitful, the good doctor affirmed their suspicions. Did I say deceitful? I meant disappointed. But we can get you help, Dad, Margaret mistakenly malapropismed. You can go to Arizona and, you know, get a document notarized. I am very disappointed, Mr. Dr. Berger said slowly, in you too. I'm sorry, Margaret started the round of excuses. We didn't know you were growing murderous humanoid. Yeah, Charlie interrupted his sister before she got them fed to the plants. And we didn't smoke any of your plants, I swear. Very disappointed, their father repeated robotically. We're sorry, Daddy. Dr. Berger held out his pinky ring for the children to kiss. I just thank God that your mother is getting documents notarized and wasn't around to witness this. Charlie looked up from kissing Dr. Berger's ring. Does she ever kiss your pinky ring? He asked, and Margaret quickly kneed him in the thigh. No, of course, that would be gross, Margaret murmured, but Charlie was on a roll. Has she ever been in that bathroom? Again, Margaret kneed him in the thigh. They followed their father to the kitchen. He took a bag of flour, poured it over the kitchen counter. He fingered the flour until he'd drawn a word. D-I-E. Dr. Berger watched their looks of terror and, satisfied, smeared the flour with his hand so that the word disappeared. His robotic stare and his not-so-subtle terrorism had had their effect on everyone except Charlie. Dad, what's up with the plants? What do you want me to say? The not-so-good doctor asked his young son. Say that it's weird, Charlie responded. And if I say it's weird, Dr. Berger said in his robot voice, and then turned more animated, will you shut the freaking hell up about it? It was all really interesting, Dad. Margaret jumped in, trying to satiate her dad's satirical spewings. Am I trying Dad's patience with this Anglo-American, passive-aggressive bullcrap, she asked herself. Because, as it is, he's pretty apoplectic. She wondered when her earthworm of a dad was ever going to grow a pair. Seriously, he's always passing the buck to his wife, and he's never direct with anyone. He only makes a decision when he has to, and then he blames any consequences on his wife and or kids. Why does he act this way? Is he just the insane, silent, emotionally stunted type? Charlie's feet made him go into the bathroom, Margaret said meekly. She looked up to see if her dad was buying any of this. He was rubbing his chin thoughtfully, so Margaret gently slammed home her capper. I think that is very clearly the case. Margaret and Charlie looked at each other. Finally, Margaret said, don't ever do that again, Charlie. I don't care what your feet want. But why would my feet make me do that? Charlie asked. Yes, it's fascinating to contemplate, Margaret answered, rubbing her chin and trying to look thoughtful. I'm sure that when I become a nuclear physicist, botanist, I'll have the answer for you. Until that time, we'll just have to wait. What a day, her father said, suddenly congenial, but with a key lime pie in his hand. First your mother has to go get something notarized, then I have to take her to the airport, He lifted the pie as if to strike, but brought it back down. Now I have to get to work. He headed for the bathroom. There's frozen pizzas in the freezer. How is Mom feeling about getting notarized? Margaret asked. Dr. Berger kept walking away. I suppose that's the question, he said, lifting the pie as emphasis. Well, I'm sure Auntie Lenore knows some good notaries, Margaret charaded. Dr. Berger just kept walking, literal bats gathering about his head, figurative wolves at the bathroom door. Later, he inexplicably said in the vernacular of the teenager, and then they heard the bathroom door open and shut. I can't believe he bought that load of crap we're selling him, Margaret said. Nice summation, counselor, Charlie said. You were selling. I was sweating. Did you see the way he looked at us with those crazy eyes? Oh, yeah. He's a big man now that Mom's gone, Margaret said. She was going to pray to Buddha, but picked on Charlie instead. Come on, manga boy. I have some clues I want to manicure. I can't believe those trees are trying to feel me up, Charlie said pensively, feeling himself. Does this mean I'm not a virgin? No, it means the first pie I see is going straight into your face, she exclaimed a little too gleefully, and then saw the dejected, sour puss of her brother. Aw, cheer up. I probably won't find a pie before I forget I was going to blast you with one. Look, Margaret continued, I gotta think about this bathroom shit. Think about this bathroom shit? Margaret thought. That doesn't sound right, but what does sound right? They left the house. They had already written off their mom as either dead or institutionalized or as getting something notarized. Hopefully the papers needed to have their father institutionalized. They tried to account for the scene in the bathroom with the serpentine lions. And then they tried some new kind of mint. With a tear in her eye, Margaret took out her math book and prepared to study. But the words she had bothered to understand mathematics were gone. And in their place, someone had put living, breathing gremlins into her brain. All this means is you don't have to cast about batting your Daniel Ortegas, one of her new gremlins said in her brain. Well, another gremlin chimed in, it also means that, much like your psychotic father and all-notarizing mother, you are going sack of hammers. It all means, yet one more gremlin spoke up, that you must promise not to tell anyone about us or try to explain the nervous tics we're going to give you. Margaret liked the idea that it all meant not casting about, batting her Daniel Ortega's best. She thought this until she saw a major segue in the story just ahead, and she knew that she'd have to face tomorrow later than sooner. For the time being, Dr. Berger was working, the bathroom was barricaded, and he'd installed his goatee on the door as a lookout. On Sunday afternoon, Margaret came back to the house, sobered up, and talked to her mom on the phone from an Arizona notary public phone. So, did Aunt Lenore help you find this notary place? Margaret asked, wrapping the phone cord around her fingers nervously. The staff here has kept me very calm, yes, her mom replied, sounding tired. Did I say me? I meant that the staff here is very calm. Not me. I'm just as nervous and mom-like as ever. They let me wear a robe with my insignia on it. Well, in case you're wondering, there's nothing psycho happening here, Margaret blurted. But Mrs. Berger could tell when her oldest child was lying. Don't lie to me, slut! But, Mom! All right, I was lying. Yeah, Margaret admitted. She knew what was coming next. The screaming, the blaming, the disappointment. So, how's your father? Mrs. Berger asked. I talked to him last night, and he was kind of rude to me. He's not rude or evil to us, Margaret spat out and immediately put her hand over her mouth. How are you? You're trying way too hard, Mrs. Berger said. Margaret could hear an intercom paging a doctor in the background. Her mother was calling from an institution. Nobody's been murdered in the bathroom, Margaret said, not wanting to lie to her mother. Your father's bathroom experiments are very important to someone. To Dad? Possibly. More important than his family? Probably. Margaret didn't want to rat out her dad. Besides, her mom had enough problems to deal with in the institution. Your dad's been very careful, Mrs. Berger said, with me and with you and... Charlie? Yes, Charlie. Dr. Berger believes that if he's not impressing Mr. Martinez and his co-conspirators at the university, then it's either booze, meth, or Jesus. No! Margaret screamed. I'm afraid, yes, dear. But we won't have to go to church, will we? Margaret lamented. Not if he's on meth. Then we'll have to watch him waste away to nothing. First his teeth will... Mom! Margaret could hear his mother's impatience all the way from Arizona. Margaret, please try to listen. I will try to be very clear and explicit. Mom, no! You have to understand sometime. Your dad is losing it, Margaret said quickly. She wanted to change teams in mid-phone call. Charlie finally hit the ball at his Little League game. Who? Charlie? No. Mom, Margaret responded. Dad! Dad hit the ball for the first time at Charlie's Little League game. Did he really? Mrs. Berger was very surprised. Margaret was very... something. He said that we were terrible children and not to fuck with him. Mrs. Berger was not surprised this time. Oh, my Christ, no, she said. No, you are not terrible children. Thanks, Mom, but I still wouldn't fuck with him. Clank! The line was dead. Margaret hadn't had a chance to tell her mom about trees with hands, human rights violations, and that Charlie's hit was a solid single to left. Poor Mommy, Margaret thought. Her sister helps her husband institutionalize her, and she thinks that Dad's pinch-hitting on Charlie's team. She sat on the calm, content to listen to it in silence. Charlie was in the house with a friend. That dude left childhood traumas behind like it was his dirty laundry. I'm going to call Diana, she thought. And that would take picking up the phone, and she just didn't have the talents. First I'll have lunch, she decided, and then I'll yammer at Diana. Margaret started hitting her head repeatedly with a phone receiver, telling herself that she would not get high today. Then she impulsively jumped on the down escalator to the bathroom. Surprisingly, her father was in the kitchen. He was looking into the refrigerator when he spotted her. He started to talk to her. What the? But stopped. What the what? Margaret thought. Devoured by curiosity, Margaret hopped up on the space between the escalators, sat back and watched. Dr. Berger clearly wanted to eat something. With his mighty hands, he started taking random shit out of the refrigerator and putting it on the kitchen counter. Meanwhile, Margaret was watching all this from a part of the escalator where her dad couldn't see her. She watched as he scratched his ball sack, burped, and then gazed toward the heavens. Margaret could see that he was ruinously hungry, squirming, and looking to the gods for assistance. What you gonna eat? She asked him. Dr. Berger did not reply. He never ate with his children, and he didn't talk to them very often either. He always said that he had no appetite for eating or for talking with children. But now he was at least showing hunger. And hunger was a human attribute. Not exclusively human, but a human quality nonetheless. Margaret had to keep from laughing as the good doctor kept piling up tray after tray of pre-masticated meals. When he was done piling, he started sorting. And when he was done sorting, he started saran wrapping. And when he was done saran wrapping, he started waving his hands in the air like an orchestra conductor. Margaret stifled a laugh as Dr. Berger passed her on the way to the bathroom, his arms laden with saran-wrapped succulents. He burped and breathed, but didn't see her. The bathroom door was closed, shut, and locked. Margaret listened as her dad pushed, cursed, screamed, and also cajoled the door open with his hands full. When she was sure that her father had locked himself in the bathroom, Margaret headed for the kitchen. She got out her Sherlock Holmes Boy Scout compass and tried to figure out exactly what he'd taken from the refrigerator. She opened the cabinets and searched the trash. She basically looked everywhere except the refrigerator. She was about to admit defeat when her eyes started running circles from around her eye sockets, and it hit her. Her father wasn't going to eat. He had made all those snackables for the plants.
Yes. Thank you.